Breaking today on Seculo, the main source of the phony Trump dossier, a Russian national arrested by the DOJ.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo.
First of all, we've gotten a glimpse at what Durham has, and it is new. This is the type of stuff that did not appear in the Mueller report, which is a very good question as to why.
We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110.
It's clear that the FBI knew very early on that the Steele dossier was based on unreliable information. They were told by his primary source, Danchenko, that this was all unsubstantiated, that he barely recognized what Steele reported.
And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, so you heard it, folks. A Russian national has been indicted for making false statements to the FBI. He is the main source behind the Steele dossier to Christopher Steele, working alongside another individual, Charles Dolan, who is a close associate of the Clintons. So this whole time, I just want you to step back and realize an actual Russian national was working with the Clintons in the Clinton campaign, in the Clinton law firm, Clinton campaign attorney, on the dossier that claimed that Donald Trump was working with Russian nationals and was a Russian agent, when in fact, this individual has been investigated before. When he worked for the Brookings Institute, he got investigated whether or not he was a Russian agent.
Yeah.
So now he's in trouble with the FBI. He's the one that made up the most salacious information, the hotel information, went there with Dolan, lied about it, lied about the sourcing.
Lied about it to the FBI.
But he is in the United States.
Yes.
He lives in Northern Virginia, so he was arrested by the FBI. So this is not someone who's able to escape the jurisdiction of Durham. And I think, you know, out of a probe that is, people question whether or not anything is going to happen. This is a big part because these are the guys who were closest to Christopher Steele.
Ask yourself a couple of questions, though. How did Bob Mueller miss this? How did the FBI miss this when they based a FISA warrant on Christopher Steele's unverified dossier? Now, Will Haynes, our producer, said this, and it's really true. The entire premise of the investigation against President Trump was that he was colluding with Russian nationals. Remember that? In order to sway the election. The indictment reveals that it was actually Russian nationals that lied to the FBI about their communications with the Clinton campaign about derogatory information about President Trump. In effect, the Clinton campaign was the ones colluding with the Russian national to defeat Trump. Totally turns it upside down. But then this information produced by this now accused, and he's just accused, he's right to his day in court. This information was used, Harry, as the basis of a Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act warrant.
Absolutely.
Signed by James Comey.
So, Jay, you ask, how did the FBI miss this? How did Robert Mueller miss this?
That's another story.
How did the media miss this? They missed it because they were predisposed to find President Trump guilty in the absence of evidence. And so they went out on a mission to find evidence. They claimed, for instance, that Christopher Steele was a credible source. Untrue. They failed to find information that Christopher Steele was employed by the Clinton campaign. They continued to go after President Trump after James Comey resigned and then call for the appointment of a special prosecutor. So at the end of the day, this investigation of President Trump was cooked from the beginning.
Unbelievably so. And then we'll get to the whole thing, Jordan, about where was Bob Mueller on this? How did this not come up during the Mueller probe?
Right. I mean, they were using all this, the basis of why to go after President Trump, the basis of their probe, the basis of the investigation. And now they're catching, it's no surprise, but it was Russians planting the disinformation about Donald Trump, maybe because they didn't want him to become President of the United States because he was an unknown, unlike Hillary Clinton, who was a very known figure to them, and they knew how to manage. It's not rocket science. They didn't want an unknown, a wild card president who wasn't really bound by anything in the past politically. So they tried to take it down through this.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, welcome back to Secular. So here's what happened. Yesterday, the Department of Justice arrested, after a federal grand jury returned an indictment, of Igor Dechnikov. He is a 43-year-old Russian citizen. He resides in Virginia. He's worked for the Brookings Institute. He's been a known actor in Washington, D.C. He was indicted for making five false statements to the FBI. They are statements that came from the sources he used in providing information to Christopher Steele and the Steele dossier. So he was lying about where he got the information from directly to the FBI. And of course, this is it ends up being, I just wanted to be clear to people, a Russian national who is behind the idea that it's Trump who's the Russian agent. A Russian national who's worked for now an indicted top Clinton attorney, and so he's got the access there, and one of their fixers, one of their PR fixers, who Charles Dolan, who was named here as basically the secondary source.
Okay.
So this has got it's the entire Clinton world that came together here, and Washington D.C., the Brookings, and these kind of institutions who employ people like this who did not want an outsider. Washington.
Of course.
So they did everything they could, including using Russians to say he was a Russian agent.
But if there's anybody in our set right now that could laugh a little bit at this, and it's sad, it's tragic, it's me, who spent 3.5 years defending the former president of the United States over this nonsense, and now we know, because the FBI now, of course, 3.5 years later, arrests the guy that gave Steele the information that was then used for a FISA warrant to spy on American citizens. And it was all a put-up. And Bob Mueller had a $50 million investigation, and shockingly, he never could find this. Never could happen. And it took Bill Barr appointing Durham to investigate the investigators, and it now is yielding fruit. I mean, lawyers have been indicted on this because of information, but these were the Clinton people doing this. That's what's so amazing here,
yeah,
Wes.
It's a web of lies and deceit that includes the Clinton campaign, the Democratic National Committee, the Russians, the FBI, and the legacy media who push this story over and over again. And it's probably the biggest political scandal in 100 years. In reality, maybe the biggest political scandal ever.
This was a pull-off. They were trying to put this off on the American people. This is what's so outrageous about this. Dan, I'm wondering, you know, there's so much stuff going on. We'll get into the reconciliation, the bills in a minute. But, you know, we all lived through this. And now you look at it and you say to yourself, First of all, how did Bob Mueller miss this? I just, you know, or his team. How did they just, the guy that gave the information in this dossier that, remember that, that James Comey had to privately brief the president-elect on this salacious material, and Brennan said, oh, do it, but don't, you know, don't do it in front of all of us. And James Comey, what a fraud in this whole thing. I mean, he signed these warrants and approved them. And it was now based on, they should have known this 3.5 years ago. Fan?
Yeah, I mean, looking at it a little bit from the outside, Jay, I just don't see how Bob Mueller or James Comey could have missed it, Jay. I'm not convinced they did. I think maybe it was overlooked or intentionally set to the side. But look, I agree with the Wall Street Journal on this. They said all along, we've been calling this the Steele dossier. It really should be called the Clinton dossier. I mean, Jay, I do think people on Capitol Hill today are maybe a little distracted by the political drama. But when they return to this, I think what they'll find conclusively clear is that this Russian collusion scheme from the very beginning, Jay, it was every bit the witch hunt, but it was more than a witch hunt. This was a collusion scheme for sure, but it was a collusion scheme that was run directly out of the Clinton campaign. And maybe even worse than that, Jay, as bad as that is, it was aided and abetted by the FBI.
I mean, Jordan, this is what's, I mean, we dealt with this for 3.5 years. That's what's so unbelievable about this. 5 counts of false statements, but it was false statements about dealings with the Clinton campaign.
Yeah, these weren't any kind of like random false statements.
It wasn't
statements.
Like I wasn't here on this particular date.
No,
he was.
It was false statements about who he was dealing with, his sourcing, the information, the data. I mean, remember how nasty the allegations were against the president. Not only were they... on the one hand, outrageous to say he's a Russian agent. You know, he is out of a movie. But then second, that he was performing these acts, which were so salacious. Remember, I mean, that's the word that was used by Comey. And yet, you know, you would think that right away that would raise red flags, as it did for most people, that sounds absurd and just kind of made up. And that's what it was. I mean, that's what we're finding out. This guy went to the hotel room. I don't have to get the details. And just made it up based on he visited the hotel room. So he could describe it.
Turned it into part of this false narrative about what was going on with President Trump in that particular hotel room without getting into the details. Only to say that's how he verified the hotel room.
Yeah.
By visiting
the hotel room
that actually existed.
Which obviously... But, you can learn online.
I want everybody that's listening, and if you're on any of our social media platforms, share this with your friends. For 3.5 years, we fought against this entire narrative, and this narrative that the Trump campaign was in collusion with the Russian government, when actually, when you look at it now, it was the Clinton campaign in collusion with an individual who was a Russian national to hurt the Trump campaign, and then pulled false information to the Federal Bureau of Investigation, which then resulted in a FISA warrant on American citizens. None of this is supposed to happen. Yet all of this was happening. And then listen to what Jonathan Turley had to say about all of this.
Dolan not only has really close connections with the Clintons, he has a close connection with the Russian government. His firm was handling the press relations for the Russian government. And what Durham is saying is that many of the most salacious, most reported claimed facts out of the Steele dossier came from him, not from a source in Russia, came from this PR figure with close ties to Clinton. So we're seeing all of these different layers of connections with the Clinton campaign. And that mosaic is now coming clearer into view.
Yeah, well, the mosaic is this was a fraud on the American people. There was no collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians, but the Russians were in close collusion with Russian nationals, Russian government, press people, and the Clinton campaign to hurt President Trump. And that became a $50 million investigation by Robert Mueller. And yours truly led the defense. And then... that doesn't even come up during the 3.5 years or 2.5 years that this matter took place. So when I said Bob Mueller was absent without leave, folks, nothing personal here. This is a business. He was. How did they not realize, oh, wait a minute, we've been duped, and end it right there? Because they knew early on there was no Russian collusion. They knew that early on, Harry.
Absolutely. So what we have here is a web of deceit. This web of deceit was spawned by the deep state, the FBI, the CIA, the Clinton campaign. These entities, including the FBI and the DOJ and the CIA, ignored evidence right before their own eyes. Why? Because they had already reached a predetermined conclusion. So instead of affording President Trump the presumption of innocence, they presumed that he was guilty. Why was he guilty? Because the American people had elected him instead of the preferred candidate of the globalist elites, Hillary Clinton. So at the end of the day, these entities were trying to vindicate their preferences, their political preferences. And so the law has been twisted in the process. And then we have the Bob Mueller investigation, which was aimed again at sustaining the FBI, at sustaining the CIA, and at sustaining the preferences of the commentators who often present themselves as unbiased experts on CNN and elsewhere. So at the end of the day, the American people should look at this particular indictment as another step in the process of uncovering the deep state. Hopefully more will come down the road.
I hope you share this with your friends and family. On if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, Periscope, Rumble, wherever you're watching, share this with broadcast, because obviously we're taking this to a level that the news reporting can't, because, again, our work on this matter.
Right.
And I think, you know, what to bring up, I want to go back to Charles Dolan, who kind of is the connector here to the Clinton campaign, along with Sussman, who was the senior attorney for the Clinton campaign, also at his firm. Dolan, in 2006, and we played some of this, but in 2006, his PR firm signed the contract with the Kremlin to represent Russia globally, their PR. Remember what they did to Paul Manafort for assisting?
For giving them public information.
Ukrainian presidential candidate, because he was backed by the Kremlin.
Right.
He was again, he had his offices there. Was it hiding any of this, just like this other? And but yet, he goes to jail in solitary confinement. Dolan, and meanwhile, these others are just starting to come up. I mean, it's taken since 2016 and 2017 is when these guys were putting this together. And they're just getting the FBI breathing down their neck.
We got today a lot more on this. We're going to get into
it. There's a lot more. Let's share it with your friends and family. We'll be right back on Secular.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Seculo. So we're, you know, these connections and these actors who are starting to come to light, it could be shocking to a sense because of the pushback of the left on this, and that, you know, they wouldn't give up. Remember, even once Mueller had it, and there was nothing that, you know, they had to shift to another scandal to get an impeachment because there was nothing here. There was nothing in this. This whole FISA war, they were spying on Americans, which allowed them to spy on the Trump campaign and get inside all these individuals. People were in solitary confinement over this because of Bob Mueller. I mean, I think those guys should answer for that. If there was some way to answer, how does Paul Manafort end up in solitary confinement? And yet right now, we know that Dolan's roaming the streets. He was representing the Kremlin. I mean, because that was like the crime for Mueller. If you did any work for or with Russia, even though that wasn't illegal.
Initial charge. Yeah. No. Bob Mueller was put in place to investigate not obstruction of justice. That became after, and there's an irony there. It was to investigate the connections between the Russians and the Trump campaign, allegedly. So now we know that the relations are not between the Trump campaign, but was actually Hillary Clinton's campaign, and the Dolan worked for Hillary Clinton's campaign. This Russian national was employed, as was Christopher Steele, for the Trump campaign. So they let all of this go, and the firing of James Comey was deemed a potential obstruction of justice, but he should have been fired when he signed the false FISA warrants. But that's not the only thing in here. Wes brought up a really good point, and that was about Congressman Adam Schiff and his public giant pronouncements.
Yeah, Adam Schiff said he had definitive proof of collusion between the Trump campaign and former President Trump and the Russians. So the reporters really need to camp out of his office door ask him, you know, what's going on here? Because this is collusion, all right.
Yeah.
It's collusion on steroids by the DNC, by the Clinton campaign, by the FBI, by the legacy media, and by the members of Congress who are investigating the president and said they had proof.
Yeah, so, Than, you know, here's the problem. This is, it's important news. It's a vindication for all of us that worked on this legally. Vindication for the former president in that sense, too. But there is not going to be a reckoning for Adam Schiff here, for his I've got definitive proof, when its definitive proof was of the Clinton campaign.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see that happening inside the House of Representatives. I also don't see a reckoning happening for the FBI down at the DOJ. I mean, you talk about Adam Schiff, Jay. I would throw into that camp James Comey and Peter Strzok. Look, we're supposed to believe that the seventh floor of the FBI and the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee were somehow duped by a D.C. policy wonk. I mean, look, Jay, I like D.C. policy wonks. In fact, some people would say I am one. I'm okay with that. That's fine. But look, they were not duped by him. We cannot give them that benefit of the doubt. They were willing participants in Jay. Some policy wonk down at the Brookings Institute didn't walk into all of those offices and convince them that he was the real deal. They helped orchestrate this, Jay.
Listen, you're not talking about, first of all, Harry, the Brookings Institute, which is center left, but very well known, very well respected Washington establishment, have a Russian national working for them who lives in the United States, who's giving false information to Christopher Steele, and then makes false statements to the FBI about his communications with the Clinton campaign. I mean, this is Washington at its real. I was going to say at its worst, but this is Washington at its real.
I think you're correct. So what we have here is a parade of falsity, a parade of false accusations. After all, the original claim initiated in 2016 by the duplicitous FBI asserted that Christopher Steele was a credible source. We all know that Christopher Steele was never a credible source. The FBI claimed before the FISA court that it had credible evidence to support a FISA warrant against Carter Page. Again, it never had credible information. So that was false. Comey claimed later that Trump was engaged in the obstruction of justice. Again, that was never a credible claim. Then we had, after the failed Mueller investigation, an impeachment trial. And we all know that the impeachment trial was grounded in manufactured, in my view, fabricated evidence that President Trump was acting against American interests and favoring his own interests. The reality is quite different. who was acting on the basis of their own interest. It turns out it was the Clinton campaign. It was the DNC. It was a lot of the individuals who are now subject to an investigation by John Durham and have now been indicted. Hopefully more indictments will flow out of this investigation so we will have the full revelation of the depth of the deep state and their commitment to falsity.
Let's go to the phones here, because I think it's important for people to understand what's going on. Let's go to the phones. We got a good call coming in, and it's going to be an interesting how we respond to this call.
Yeah, Bill in Wyoming online, too. Hey, Bill, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill.
Yes, sir. I've got a question. Without dropping names, because you've already mentioned them, how does this affect all those who have actually led the charge against President Trump's presidency and what's been happening with all the supposed information that came in?
So when you say the names, you're talking about, at least according to the call screener, Jim Comey, Peter Strzok, those folks, Lisa Page?
Yes, sir.
Well, this is already much higher than that. Not James Comey. He was the director of the FBI. But the Peter Strzok nonsense pales into comparison of someone falsifying reports and documents that end up being a part of a FISA warrant to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, which end up then becoming a basis upon which Bob Mueller engages in an investigation of the then sitting president of the United States. So I think I want to know everybody in the intelligence community that had anything to do with this. We've got FISAs out on it. I'm sure we'll probably then need to modify those somewhat in light of this revelation. But look, I mean, this is higher, a lot higher than Peter Strzok.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, listen, what we know is that these Peter Strzok types took the information and they obviously did not scrutinize it.
No,
I mean, because you have to be, it's absurd that this kind of info without any verification would make its way into a FISA court, and yet it did because of Peter Strzok and their bias. So we know the problem with Strzok and Page was they had this extreme bias, so to McCabe, against Trump politically in a partisan bias. So they were like looking for anything possible.
I would love for them to try and hurt him. I'd love to see them interview, I think Andy McCabe's with CNN, and ask him about, hey, did you know you got duped By the Russians. Yeah, by the Russians and the Clinton campaign. Why do you feel about that now?
I mean, don't you think we're going to end up with this? He's already been investigated once for being an asset
of
Russia.
There's going to be a lot more.
He's going to end up being a Russian spy or some kind of asset.
Because, if he's doing that, probably.
Because how you run it around, that seems like very dangerous if you're here on a visa to be making these kind of trips, making these allegations so freely, unless you know someone's behind you. Well, the Clintons enough would be a pretty big group behind you.
Let me quickly ask Than this. So, Than, we had an existing series of FOIAs, I remember. I wonder if it's worthwhile talking with Ben and seeing about modifying those. Ben says,
yeah, we can do that, Jay. I'm actually texting back and forth with him right now. But I would throw into that, remember, James Comey, he admitted and even bragged about falsifying that memo that he leaked. It, for what purpose, Jay? To get that special counsel appointed.
Yeah, who ended up not finding this. Of all things, Bob Mueller couldn't find this. Folks, this is why the support of the ACLJ is so important. I want to encourage you. We are in a match and challenge month, and it was a big month last year, as you can imagine, with the election. So this year is a very important month for us, too. I want to encourage you to support us at ACLJ.org.
You double the impact of your donation there. So a $20 donation, that's like $40 for the ACLJ, because we have a group of donors ready to match all those donations at ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
So now we know that a Russian national was the main source for Christopher Steele. We also know that he was working with a very close associate of the Clintons, ran a PR firm that the Clintons used. We know that the Clintons, the attorney for the Clinton campaign, is in trouble, facing charges. So, you know, you look at the individuals that are directly being charged here. They have all one thing in common is direct association with the Clinton campaign. So they were running, they were assisting a campaign for President of the United States with opposition research. That's what how they would spin it. Except they were making it all up. And not only was it just salacious info they were releasing out to the press.
Yeah,
they were setting this up to try and take down the President of the United States and his associates, President Trump, his associates, and you know, put them in place like Paul Manafort could talk to you about solitary confinement and really bad treatment. Because they were being accused of running a shadow campaign for the Russian government.
You know,
I mean, think about that. And yet now we know the main guy behind this. Well, let me just say his name for you. I think it'll make it clear. Is you got Russian national indicted. This is the Department of Justice website. Biden Department of Justice website. Russian national indicted for making false statements to the FBI. His name, he's been running around. There's no way he was running around without them knowing about Igor Denchenko. I think he was probably on the radar of the FBI in 2016. He was a Russian
Bob
national.
Mueller may have said, who is Igor Denchenko?
Yeah,
this and Russian how did he national? Get this information to the... but no, they were too busy investigating something that they knew 2 months in was not true. But what I can't understand for the life of me, how did they not know that this was true, which now they do know? Because they were too busy trying to take down a previous administration. And I want to go to Harry and then to Wes. But Harry, here's the thing that concerns me. The lack of accountability here is unreal. $45 million spent by Bob Mueller to do what? He couldn't come up with a conclusion on obstruction. And my goodness, of course he can't, now that we know what was going on. And then on the Russian collusion, he said there's no evidence of collusion with the Russians. Of course, he didn't answer the other question. Well, there was collusion. It was the Hillary Clinton campaign and Russian nationals working for big institutions.
Absolutely. So there are so many ways to go in analyzing all of this. Clearly, Bob Mueller should be indicted for malfeasance and incompetence if that they were crimes. Perhaps they're not. But the individuals who worked for Bob Mueller were more than competent if they were willing to look at the evidence right before their own eyes. So in Great Britain, there is indeed a crime, and it's called the perversion of justice. And so I think at the end of the day, the Bob Mueller investigation should have been turned around and focused its attention on Hillary Clinton, the DNC, and James Comey.
He should have gone to Rod Rosenstein, as he did to expand his investigation, asked to investigate this and the fraud on the FISA court, but he didn't.
Yeah, Crossfire Hurricane was the name of the FBI investigation of Trump and the Trump campaign. And, you know, one of the text threads through some of the agents that were in that team was that their fear was there was no there as far as Trump collusion with the Russians. Well, obviously, there was no there.
Right.
What we're looking at is not the investigation of a crime, but an investigation in search of a crime. Why? Because they did not like Donald Trump, and they did not like the way the Americans voted in 2016.
That's the truth. And it's a vindication, Jordan, but it's also a tragedy at one at the same time. It really is.
It is, because if Russian nationals, and again, being Russians on a crime in America, but the fact is, if you're going to start getting involved in domestic politics, you can do that too. There's legal ways to do that. If you start getting into opposition research on presidential candidates, okay, that starts getting a little bit more high level. Then you start making it up. Serious allegations that you start making up that become part of legal documents used to bring people in, spy on people, bring charges against people, indict people. Look what happened to Roger Stone. Think about his, you know, he gets the CNN FBI no notice, knock on the door, guns drawn.
Yeah.
You know, that happened to American political actors because of a Russian national working with a British national working with the Clinton campaign.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
We are taking your phone calls too at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So let me just read for you some of from the Department of Justice. I think it's clear too. I want to make it clear. You know, this is happening inside the Biden Department of Justice because one of their promises that they've so far made good on was that they wouldn't mess with Durham. And Attorney General Garland said last week in one of those hearings that was being battered around that he got his budget reapproved for, I guess, the next fiscal year, and it's moving forward. And then we see this a big indictment because it involves a Russian national, the Russian national who was a main source. We also knew another source was uncovered here because of the way the indictment read, PR executive plus one. I mean, it was clear they were talking about Charles Dolan, who used to he works very closely with the Clintons, just like the other attorney who you had Sussman from the FBI, yet another attorney who was a Clinton campaign attorney, be indicted. Now you've got the Russian national. We don't know what's going to happen to Charles Dolan yet, but all of the connections are not to law enforcement, but to the Clinton campaign. Not just to, remember the guys behind the dossier initially, this was levels above them too. I think they were also front people too, because this was Christopher Steele working with a Brookings Institute, known actor in Washington, a Russian actor who'd been investigated before for being a spy.
Yeah.
And so people had questions about him and whether he was here for the right reasons, putting this information forward. And I just want to tell you, they in some ways, because of how much they put the president through and how much stress they put on the executive branch during this, they wanted to take down. First, it was to prevent him from becoming president.
Then take him down.
Then it was, okay, we got to take him down. And in a sense, they did. They were able to. Not legally, but they overwhelmed that administration with this cloud that maybe because he's just not the typical Wash. I see the Colin Powell funeral right now, and you see all of the typical Washington actors from both sides of the aisle. They wouldn't be making allegations like this against themselves, even though they're the ones usually making the money from the foreign countries. You know, you don't get to make – Russia doesn't hire you to be their head of PR if you don't have really good connections in Washington, D.C.
Right.
They wouldn't hire Americans like that. So I see this funeral as kind of the opposite of the reality of where our politics is now, which is that they showed their cards. They don't want outsiders in Washington, D.C. They prefer a near 80-year-old three-time candidate like Joe Biden, who maybe not inspire anybody, but they know they could, they've got control. They know the bureaucracy will continue on, and that this Tony Blinkens of the world are very happy.
Yeah. So one of the things that we were concerned about when we filed our FOIA request against the Department of Justice was why the Department of Justice wiped their phones clean. Remember that while there were investigations ongoing. And Fan, you just got notification from Ben that that's one of the things we are seeking. What's the status of that as of now?
Yeah, we still are looking for that information, Jay. It hasn't gone to a lawsuit stage yet, but look, that's one of the things that we need to know. Why did the special counsel's team feel the need to wipe their phones during the investigation if there was nothing to hide? And Jay, look, I mean, we talk about these being puzzle pieces all the time, so I can't conclusively say this, but we're always looking for how these puzzle pieces fit together. And I think there's a very good chance that they answer the question that you asked just a minute ago. How did they not know? Jay, I mean, I think if you're just looking at the evidence, you would say they did know. I mean, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, this is what they were talking about when they talked about an insurance policy. Bob Mueller's team wiping their phones. Did they know? I don't know, Jay, but there had to be some reason. Right. I mean, that's the most natural conclusion that you would draw.
I mean, how in the world? I mean, Harry, I'm thinking about that. How in the world did Mueller's team get away with wiping their phones while investigations were going on and no repercussions whatsoever? And phones lost. No idea where they went that contained evidence. Where is it? We don't know.
I think the answer is quite simple, at least in my opinion, and that is there was a deep state collusion effort ongoing to avoid examining evidence that might indeed basically incriminate the individuals who were allegedly launching an impartial investigation of the president. So I think I would love to see a collusion investigation of Bob Mueller's team. Did they violate the law? Were they in communication with the Clinton campaign? Were they in communication, for instance, with Mr. Danchenko or others, Christopher Steele, perhaps? So I think at the end of the day, it raises huge questions which have yet to be answered for the American public.
I just don't understand for the life of me how this all went under Bob Mueller's watch with the $40 million, $50 million special counsel investigation. And this never came up, that the actual people providing the dossier were not only, you know, Christopher Steele, but his source was a Russian national who's now been indicted for lying to the FBI, in part because of lying about conversations he had with the Clinton campaign. And they were investigating collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. And why then in the world did they not do this? I mean, very simply, say, hey, Rod Rosenstein, remember bringing out a name from the past, right? Rod, we need to expand our investigation into the Clinton campaign to see what their involvement was with this particular individual, because it certainly raised some questions right now. That they didn't do.
No, absolutely not. And with my tongue planted firmly in my cheek, the reason the Mueller team thought they could get away with erasing their phones is because Hillary Clinton's team had erased theirs with acid wash and taken hammers to their phones to hide the evidence. You know, the bottom line is, Jay, the swamp is alive and well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what we know is that it's far from over. All the pieces that are coming together. I mean, because these are, when you have someone who was like this, who's a Russian national, worked in a big think tank in D.C., has been on the radar of law enforcement before, got through that, goes back, does something else, now he's in trouble. What is he, who's he going to be, you know, who's he going to save here? You know, he's not. So you would imagine that these individuals are going to start talking now. And when they start talking, you're going to get higher and higher. I mean, you're already very close to Hillary Clinton. Her top legal counsel has been indicted.
Yeah.
For the campaign. That's a pretty
tough. False statements.
That's just, you know, if you got like a national campaign like that and there's five top people, that's one of them. So that person would always be in the room for major discussions and decisions if you're the chief counsel for the campaign. He was taking a leave of absence from the firm to do that. That firm also is highly involved with the Clintons. So, you know, at a time where it's been tough for people who former Trump officials who are associated with the president to find big law firms and find all the representation because this committee that they've got it in Congress. Just remember the big firms in Washington, D.C. that were on the payroll either of the Russian government or the Clinton campaign for the Russian government. That's really what this is about.
You said it. I mean, the information source, Dolan, was the head of PR for the Russian government, for the Kremlin.
For Putin. Let's be clear, what the Russian government means Putin. It's 2006 is when it started.
Yeah, so I mean, this is as high up as
they're
it could
known
go.
Actors to Putin. I mean, it's not like he signed that contract in 2014. These are guys who have been working with Vladimir Putin in his entire career since he took office and rebranded Russia and rebranded himself as this strongman. They're the guys who branded him.
Yeah, but the ridiculous nature of all this is that, you know, there's not going to be you're not going to see Congress hold any of this into account, right, Dan? I mean, there's no way. We're way past that now.
Yeah, I think we are, but Jay, I think it's important to bring... Right, but Jordan talked earlier about how Durham's being allowed to finish, and I'm glad that he is so far. But Jay, we got to continue looking at that. I would say we'll see. I mean, look, it's not over. Certainly, there would be more indictments that would be coming. And I would ask this question: I mean, how far is the Attorney General, or how high up is the Attorney General going to let Durham go before he shuts it down? We got to watch out for that, Jay.
Yeah, we do have to keep an eye on that because it's going to become very tempting as this thing gets very close, and we are definitely seeing it go up the chain of command here. I still, to me, amazing, Harry, that James Comey signed these FISA warrants, agreed to all this, and now we know all, and went to the then-president-elect himself and said, hey, we've got this really bad thing. He was trying to compromise the president. I mean, that's what this was. It was a shakedown, and this is what now has happened.
I think that's absolutely correct. So James Comey has always been captivated by his moral superiority. His moral superiority to the common folk. And if you think about it, Trump's election represented the repudiation of elites. It represented the repudiation of individuals who inhabit New York, Washington, D.C., San Francisco, and L.A. And they were angry because their preferences were no longer being elevated in the space called Washington, D.C. So they went to work basically to undermine this president. And before that, they tried to simply prevent his election. Keep in mind that they created an insurance policy and James Comey was attempting to cash in that insurance policy.
All right, folks, we cut back. Former Secretary of State and our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, Mike Pompeo, will be joining us. So continue to share this with your friends and family. If you're watching the broadcast, let me encourage you to support our work financially. The reason why we've got people like Secretary Pompeo on our team is because of you who support us financially. You double the impact of your donation right now at ACLJ.org through our matching challenge the month of November. ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. We are joined now by our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, former Secretary of State and CIA Director, Mike Pompeo. He's joining us now to talk about, he's got a new piece up at ACLJ.org. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, but Mike, I wanted to talk to you first because this one hits pretty close to home for me, and that is a Russian national is indicted for making false statements to the FBI. It ends up being that that John Durham, the special counsel, was appointed under our friend Bill Barr, came out with a 5-count indictment of an individual named Igor Danchenko, who made false statements regarding his relationship with Russian nationals, as well as this unverified, salacious report that Christopher Steele did, and ends up lying to the FBI about it, including lying to the FBI that he was in contact with the FBI is alleging, is that he was in contact with the Clinton campaign during all of this. And, of course, the shocking thing for me, and again, no disrespect to Bob Mueller, although absent without leave, and I hate saying that because I know Bob served in the military, but I dealt with that office for 2.5 years, and I probably met Bob Mueller 4 times. I mean, this is how absurd this was. But, Mike, now we've got a situation where the Russia collusion narrative was the Russian collusion narrative with Hillary Clinton.
So, Jay, this is a epic failure of Central American institutions, the FBI, our media, the very institutions that people depend upon to get good, accurate, factual information, knowingly told mistruths to the American people, not just once, not just twice, but for years. They extended this metaphor of President Trump as a Russian asset because of this Steele dossier, which we now know was a Clinton machine product. It has huge political implications, but it has global implications as well around the world, right? I was trying to work on projects where we needed Russia to come alongside of us, and it was difficult to do. And even when we had adversarial interests with Russians, it was hard to have these conversations because sitting on top of it was this Russian narrative. You were working on it yourself. You were working against the Mueller campaign. What they did for a year and a half is to impeach a president over a narrative that was fundamentally untrue. This has real ramifications. Yep. We need to make sure that we hold not just a couple of low-level crazy folks who did dumb things, like we can see Danchenko did, liars. The people who accepted this information at face value or didn't do the validation work that needed to be done need to be held responsible for this.
Mike, of course, you served as the director of the Central Intelligence Agency, so you know intelligence gathering. So the thing that's always concerned me about all of this has been the fact that the FBI here utilized this dossier, which now we know not only is false, but that where the information was coming from was, you know, coordinations with the Russian government and the number two guy the PR1 person, public relations person one referenced in the indictment was actually the Russian government's private American public relations agency in charge of everything for the Kremlin, who is working with the Clinton campaign. I mean, this is unreal. But then they use this information on the basis of obtaining FISA warrants from the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. Of course, you were the DNI. You were the CIA director. You look at that situation, you're talking about catastrophic failures. I mean, at the highest level, including the FBI director.
No, that's absolutely true. Not only Comey but McCabe, we should stay tuned. I'm sure we will continue to see more and learn more. It is also the case that these folks were so close to the Clinton campaign that we haven't seen the senior names in the Clinton campaign appear yet, including we've not yet seen Secretary Clinton's name. But make no mistake about it, this was a concerted effort. This was intentional. They were trying to use this misinformation in a way, and Russian agents in a way that were trying to impact the outcome of the American election process. This is dangerous. They were trying to cast doubt on all the central institutions here at home. We had reporters given Pulitzer Prizes, for goodness sake, for writing this garbage.
I know.
This is important for the American people to stay focused on. We have to make sure there's real accountability here and that we clear up. So not only can we hold them accountable, but that we can see that our institutions will withstand an assault like this in the elections that are in front of us.
Let me ask you another one on this, because you mentioned this, Mike, as Secretary of State. You had to deal with the Russian government. You had to deal with these various leaders of these various governments and the institutions within that government. And what I think is important for the American people to understand, it made your job more complicated the longer this stayed open. And I am convinced, and this is just doubling it down now, that within 6 or 8 weeks of the investigation, they knew there was nothing there. Peter Strzok famously said, you know, where our concern is there's no there there. Now we know the there there was the there there collusion with the Clinton campaign. I just don't understand that, you know, how Bob Mueller missed it, putting that aside. But this hurt American interests overseas.
Jay, there's no doubt about that. It made our job more complicated, certainly with the Russians, right? With a country that has 1,000 nuclear warheads that had invaded Crimea in the Obama administration. This was an important counterparty for the United States of America, and this was hanging on top of it. It made it difficult for Putin and Trump to have serious conversations about these important matters, because there was this central thesis that said President Trump's in collusion with these folks. It had begun just before he became president and extended on through the first couple years of the administration. But second, Jay, your point is even broader. Others in the world, too, were watching this, and they said, oh, my goodness, this is happening in the United States. I'm guessing today they're watching the way this has unfolded and said, how does this happen in America, where a Russian person colludes with the Democrat Party, and for a year and a half, the American media tells them, no, it was the other folks who were colluding with the Russians. This is crazy stuff. It is foundational. We have to pull all of the threads here. It's very important, not just to reflect history properly, but so that we get it right as we move forward.
I want to shift just for a moment. You've got a new piece up at ACLJ.org. Of course, involves Russia and China too, but a different way. It's called "The Biden Administration's Focus on Climate Change Continues to Undermine Americans' Prosperity." You talk about the president being President Biden in Glasgow at the beginning of the week, and his this overseas trip. What did you take away from this overseas trip? I saw the Chinese media there mocking some of President Biden, but you know, I think that the American people were distracted on a lot of different things that were going on, including, you know, are they going to vote on this infrastructure bill today, which they say they will. But your takeaway from that trip?
Even on its own terms, President Biden failed. He went there to get commitments from China on climate change. He got nothing. So even if you were to measure it against his own metric, it was an utter failure. But more broadly, this administration's central focus on climate change at the expense of all of the other security issues that matter to America will present real risk to the American people. We want to get this climate elements right. We want safe drinking water and clean air, but we cannot sacrifice American security on the religious ideological altar of climate change.
All right, folks, check that out from Secretary Pompeo. It's up at ACLJ.org. The Biden administration's focus on climate change continues to undermine American prosperity. As always, thank you, Secretary Pompeo, for joining us and being part of our team at the ACLJ as our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs. As a reminder to you, the reason why he is a Senior Counsel for Global Affairs at the ACLJ, the reason why we're able to have people like Secretary Pompeo on regularly on the broadcast and Rick Grinnell's, and putting their insight into words on ACLJ.org, because of people's financial support.
Look, I was just thinking the same thing. We got the former Secretary of State, who's a Senior Counsel for the ACLJ, the former Director of National Intelligence, who's is a senior advisor on international matters and global security at the ACLJ, because of your support of the ACLJ. We're in the last 2 months, hard to believe, November and December, we're in the last 2 months of our matching challenge campaign. November's a big month. Go to ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift. ACLJ.org. Have a great weekend.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.